Thank you, Miss Gina. You have to turn those. She does. Bill, you're good. Keep it up. Thank you. Thank you. We're on session 38, and we're in John chapter 5. And I believe we're going to get through one verse tonight. I think it's one we've already talked about, but I just felt like I was supposed to bring it back around again. Amen? So John chapter 5, you love the Word of God?
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes you got to remind your soul, hey, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is changing my soul, not your spirit. Your spirit is perfect in Christ. We're going to talk about that tonight. But the heart of man, my mind, my will, and my emotions, right? And so thank you that through the Holy Spirit, that the Scripture changes us. Amen? So we got to remind ourselves. So I was thinking of King David, or I think it was King David, in one of those psalms that says, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God." So even him having to tell himself, "Hey, why are you downcast? Cut it out." He actually said, "Cut it out. Put your trust in God." And so sometimes you and I have got to tell our mind, our will, and emotions, cut it out. Put your trust in God. Amen? That's okay to say, isn't it, Mike? Cut it out. Sometimes it's okay to have a conversation with yourself. Actually can do good, right? As long as it's along the line of the Word of God. So John chapter 5, verse 24 says, "Truly, truly," Jesus is saying, hey, pay attention, man. This is the truth. John chapter 5, verse 24. "Truly, truly, I say to you." So he's talking to you and I tonight, right? "The one who hears my word." Aren't you glad you got ears to hear? Don't you glad you've got eyes to see? Don't you glad that you have a heart that's receptive to the Word of God, to the Holy Spirit, to the instruction of God, to the encouragement of God, to the strength of God? Amen. So truly, truly, I say to you, the one who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. And that's wonderful. Eternal life is wonderful, right? But it's not only eternal life. And it says, and does not come into judgment. So when we stand before God, right, amen, we're standing before him not to hear about our unrighteousness, but to hear about how we are righteous in Jesus Christ. Amen? And then it says, but has passed out of death into life. And so as we talk tonight, did you know you can be born again but still living in death? Did you know that? And I've said it many times, and I've learned it through the years. What you believe means everything. Some people are born again, they know who God is, but because of the things they believe or don't believe, because they don't know about it, can affect their quality of life completely from top to bottom here on earth. Anybody ever experienced that? I sure have. Man, you believe wrong things. I don't care if you're born again. It can put a whooping to you. It allows the enemy to defeat you. So what you believe means everything. So it says, here's my word. And he says, here's my word. This is what it means. It says, understands my word. And through the Holy Spirit that lives in you and I, we can understand his word. We can apply it to us, our lives. It can illuminate more about who Christ is. It can illuminate more of his love for this world. It can illuminate what he has for us simply through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. So it's not just here. When he says, here's my word, and believes him who sent me, he's saying, who understands my word. And so God is the one that allows us to understand the word. Isn't that awesome? I want to just give an example of in Acts chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Acts chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, it says, and on the Sabbath day, this is with Luke and Paul with a group of believers. Acts chapter 16, 13 and 14, it says, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were thinking that there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia was listening. So she was listening, wasn't she? She was listening to the Word of God. And I hope even on Wednesday nights, this is the crowd that listens, right? It is. Now, people aren't here Wednesday. I'm not saying they don't listen. But I know that the people here tonight are listening, wanting to hear the Word of God. And so Lydia was listening. She was listening. She was a seller of purple fabrics from the city of Thyatira, and a worshiper of God. So she was pursuing God. She probably didn't know the gospel yet, but she was searching, she was seeking, she was probably worshiping the God of the Old Testament. I don't know if she was a Jew or she was just a worshiper of God, having become into the Jewish faith, but it said she was listening. She was a seller of purple fabrics, and she was a worshiper of God. It said the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. See, intellect, will, and emotions are the gateway to your spirit being, even being born again. How do I know? Look at John 3. Remember, you must be born again. And a religious leader says, how can that be? How can that be? Am I going to be asked a silly question? Can I be my mother's stomach in again and be born again? And Jesus says, do you not know? Do you not know your religious teacher? So first thing is listening. If we're listening, amen, God opens our heart. He opens our heart, amen. So the wonderful thing when we're listening to his voice, number one, we got to know when we're listening to him, he wants to speak to us, amen. When we're reading the word of God and listening, he wants to speak to us. These are things that he wants to do to us, to reveal himself at a greater degree to us. But it starts by listening. How about you? Are you a listener in this day and age? Amen. Listening. What we listen to so much matters. So the intellect, the will, and the emotions are the gateway to your spirit being born again. You ever had somebody who isn't, you can tell they're not listening, you have to say, hey, are you listening? Are you hearing me? You definitely have to do that with kids, right? Talking to kids and say, hey, are you listening to me? In this day and age, I'm glad that God once again is saying, hey, church, are you listening to me? And so the second question is what are we hearing? What are we listening to, right? So he speaks to the intellect, the will, and the emotions, and it speaks to our spirit. It hits our spirit, man, and comes alive. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. You know this scripture. We're just going, this one, you know, I'm just preaching to the choir here, but allow me to do that. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? So that you may prove what the will of God is. We have to be listening, amen? We can be born again, but we have to have a heart that says, I want to listen. I want to hear what you have to say. Jesus says, let him who has ears to hear, he who has ears to hear, let him listen. Let him understand what the Spirit of God is saying. It says when we listen that you can prove what the will of God is. You'll know it. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Aren't you glad when you're following God, you may have the enemy coming against you. You may have all kinds of things coming against you. But when you're listening to God, you know that the three things is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. He leads and guides you and I into all righteousness, truth, goodness, peace, strength, joy, victory, healing, deliverance, amen, provision. Can we just keep going down? Those are the good, the perfect, and acceptable will of God. But it takes people to hear, to listen. So, Lord, thank you that we're listeners, amen. And so the Holy Spirit draws us. The Holy Spirit draws us, and then we choose what we hear, saints. We do. So the hearing, you know this, hearing the word of Christ produces what? Faith. So Romans 10, 16, and 17 says this. However, he's referring to the beginning of Isaiah chapter 53. He says, however, they did not all heed the good news. They weren't listening to it, were they? They didn't heed it. It means they heard a message, but they said, no, thank you. It didn't get past their intellect. It didn't get past their will. It didn't get past their emotions, whatever the case is. But they did not heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith cometh by how? Comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Amen. We want to be people saying, Lord, even sometimes we can be in church and say, I heard that again. I've heard that before. Oh, Pastor Chad, there he goes again. We've heard that scripture before. We've heard that before. But you know what? If we're listening, you know, you can hear it in a different way. You can hear it in a way that encourages you. You can hear it in a way that brings excitement. you can hear it in the way it says, I want to tell somebody else that. Man, it's important, saints, what we're hearing. What are you hearing today in this Christmas season? With everything going on around in the world, everything going around in this crazy country, but still I have to stop and say, Lord, what am I hearing? What am I listening for? Amen. What's affecting how I believe? What's affecting my attitude? I want to make sure everything that I'm listening to and everything that I'm pursuing builds me up. Builds me up in my most holy faith. What report are we listening to? Amen. I know one thing, his report, that, hey, there's things I'm definitely believing for this nation, right? I'm talking about the things I listened to on the news. I was telling a story with, does anybody, you know Leonard Leroy Leonard that sits here and he's with his wife, but try to think of the great leader in the 1940s, Smith Wigglesworth. And so there was another gentleman that was given a, I don't know if you've heard of Smith Wigglesworth, but he was a powerful man of God. But he had somebody that was visiting him. And the man that was visiting him was actually, I heard him giving this testimony years, and this was years ago. But he knocked on his door. And he was kind of Smith Wigglesworth was a gruff guy. He just was. You know, he was a plumber. He didn't know how to read until he got married, and his wife taught him how to read. He went to work at 8 years old to help support his family. So he never had an opportunity to go to school. So he was kind of a gruff guy. And so when he opens the door, he says, what do you want? And the guy out there, he was all dressed up. And I wish I could think of his name, hon, if I knew, but he gave this. You would know this if I could think of his name. But he looked at Smith Wigglesworth, and he had an umbrella under his one arm, looking at the guy that wanted to come in, and a newspaper under the other arm. And he said, look, you can come in, but that pack of lies can't. He took the newspaper and threw it in the street, Smith Wigglesworth, and said, you can come on in now. What was my point there? We got to be careful what we're listening to, saints. We really do. We got to be very careful. We got to be very careful. We got to make sure that it lines up with the Spirit. And I'm not saying here what you to tell you what to listen to or not, but you got to be careful. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Allow it to bring joy. To bring strength. Doesn't mean you bury your head in the sand, but it has to be something that we can go forward and fight and declare with the joy and the strength of the Lord. Amen. So hearing the Word of God, the Holy Spirit draws us that we choose what, and then we choose what to hear. And hearing the Word of Christ produces faith. And so, you know, this second thing is faith produces, you hear this, faith produces confession, resulting in salvation. And your confession will determine your quality of salvation. So once we choose to hear, we start choosing what we say. Romans 10, 8 and 10. Let me continue. Let me explain this. But what does it say? This is from Romans 10, 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. Aren't you glad of the word of God that's near you? Always. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. Right now I'm preaching the word of faith. Right now, I'm preaching the word of faith. So the word which we are preaching, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We love that scripture, right? For it says, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So let me just you know, separate these real quick, resulting in righteousness. So who is our righteousness? Jesus, right? I just want to read this. Righteousness means, let me read from this book here. This book that I have called Theology Simplified. I love this little book by a gentleman, a pastor named Bob Yandian. And so it has, on this book, by the way, Theology Simplified, it has these titles, the chapters, Election, Propitiation, Redemption, Justification, glorification, sanctification, reconciliation, and predestination. Powerful little book, by the way. And so he says, facing God's justice, but it's just talking about righteousness. I want to stop and say, okay, for the heart a person believes resulting in what? Righteousness. So it says our first contact with the character of God, you've experienced this if you come to know him, is with his justice, not his love. Not the verb. You had to come to his love, right? Before we ask for help, we must first know we need help, right? See, we're dealing with a generation now that doesn't realize they need help. They don't realize that they need a Savior. They don't realize that they need to be washed by the blood of Jesus, that they need to be washed by the Word of God. So it says, before we ask for help, we must first know we need help. Before we seek righteousness, we must first understand we're sinners. Amen? Then it comes, justification, the result of obtaining righteousness. The Greek word for righteousness is dikaiosune. I'm probably not saying it right. It is the imputing of God's perfect righteousness to us at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. Justification is a form of the Greek word for righteousness. By definition, justification is the exchange. This is wonderful. By definition, justification is the exchange of our sins for Jesus' righteousness. It is also the result of that exchange, being now made righteous. Now, this is good. Being a sinner was not something we possessed or owned, but it was our nature, something we were. Righteousness is not something we possess or own, but is now what we are. It is now what we are. On the cross, Jesus not only bore our sins, but became sin. Righteousness would not be something we own or bear, but something we now are through the work of Jesus. Jesus, I am a man and I'm a Christian, so I'm righteous. Just as I am a man and I am a Christian, so I am righteous. It's not something that you obtain. It's something who you are. It's who you are. If you're born again, your spirit man is perfect. You're sealed, it says. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So it's your identity now. What is your identity? Well, if you're a child of God and his DNA runs through you spiritually, amen? We've talked about it before. Remember I talked about the adoption papers? Remember I was my stepdad adopted me and adopted my sisters, and my sister had her adoption paper, but she needed to get something, a new birth certificate or something, so she sent in and thought, well, they'll know me by my name previously. So she sent in the information and put her previous name, her real birth name, and they responded and said, we don't have any record of that. We don't have any record of that. We don't know who Lisa Riley is. And she realized then that, but she submitted Lisa Nanke, her adopted name, they said, now we have that record. As far as we know, when you were born, your name was Lisa Nanke. We no longer have any record of who you were before. When we're born again and we don't have this righteousness, we are righteous. It's all our sins. Who we were is thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. We may have all the struggles in the world. That's what we'll talk about next. But we are children of God. We're not working to be children of God. We're not desiring to be children of God. We're not trying to obtain being a children of God. But we are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. That's our identity. That's who we are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're not having two natures and you're going back and forth. Yes, you got the flesh that's alive, but at the core of your being, you are righteous, squeaky clean. I don't understand it. I don't understand that at all, being squeaky clean, because sometimes my behavior, I don't know about you, Eddie, but me, sometimes my behavior doesn't seem squeaky clean. Not at all. But at the core of my being, my spirit, man, I'm as righteous and as clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm as righteous as Jesus Christ himself. He bore my sin. He became sin for me that I could become righteous like him. And he walked this earth not having committed even one sin. And now as I walk this earth, I don't understand it. God not seeing me as sin, but seeing me just like he saw his son Jesus, righteous. Even in the middle of my struggles. That's why in the middle of my struggles, my thoughts, my actions, I still have to believe the truth that I am righteous 100% in Christ Jesus. And once you realize that, and it takes some time, but once you realize that, that's when you can grow. That's when you know who you are in Christ. That's when you know that you belong to him. You've been sealed. Nobody can take you out of his hands, as it says in Romans chapter 8. Nobody can take you out of his hands. You are right. You belong to him. You can hold your head up high, or as Pastor Lee used to say, you can stand on your hind legs, right? And walk forward in Him, knowing that everything you face and struggle with, saying, yeah, that's true, but I am the righteousness of God. When the devil comes, says, no, no, you're not. Well, get out of here, liar, because as Jesus did, the Word of God says this. And when we dare to believe that we're righteous by faith, believing who we are by faith, that's when we can start to grow. That's when salvation actually can start meaning something to us. See, some people never even think about the benefits of salvation because they never can get past righteousness. But when that is settled, then you can go on to understand what salvation means here on earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody still out there? So once we choose to hear, we start choosing what to say. So, but what does it say that the word is near you, that's in your mouth? I read that right. So righteousness. So believing by faith from the heart results in righteousness. And salvation. What's salvation in that scripture? So it says that you confess so faith cometh from hearing and hearing from the word of God, right? And then from the heart we believe unto righteousness. And with our mouth we confess, resulting in salvation. Well, how can that be? Right? So salvation means, in the Greek, this is what it means. It means health, save, rescue, safety, and on. The good news. So do people need to be delivered? And if they do, delivered from what, right? Think of the things that people need to be delivered from. How about sickness? How about poverty? How about lack? How about fear? How about unforgiveness? How about depression? How about addiction? You know, people can be born again and cycle through any given things mentioned above because they have a narrow view of what salvation means. But Jesus says we have passed from death unto life. And we're not just talking about when you take that last breath or when He comes back and we see Him face to face. No, that death means that salvation means we're coming alive unto Him. Salvation is the promises of God, by the way. Salvation, we're His righteousness. So we believe from the heart unto righteousness. And it says with our mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Did you know the words that you say are very important? And I know I say this all the time, but it's something we constantly have to remind ourselves. Right? 2 Corinthians 1, 19 and 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. 2 Corinthians says, for the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no. Not yes and no, but has been yes in Him. For as many as the promises of God are, and saints, there are many promises. Amen. He's saying that for as many as the promises of God are, in Him they are yes. Therefore, through Him also is our amen, so be it to the glory of God through us. See, the promises we believe actually become our confessions, right? I mean, what's in your heart? You know, once you realize you have the righteousness, your righteousness in Him, then with the renewing of your mind, the salvation starts coming forward as this, saying, Lord, thank you for supplying all my needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you that is part of the promises of God that are yes and amen. It's called salvation. Lord, thank you for giving me a healthy body. Thank you, Father, for healing me. Father, thank you for healing my body. Thank you that the word of God says, by your stripes I am healed. Declaring that out of our mouths is part of salvation. The promises of God. Amen. Lord, thank you that I don't walk in bitterness or resentment. I forgive that person. I release them. Lord, I ask that you bless them. Father God, I ask that your hand would be upon them. I pray they come to know you, Father God. I pray you do a mighty work in their lives. I release them. I don't carry that anymore, Lord, because I am walking in your salvation. I am free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So you could be walking in this little thing called righteousness and not go any further than that. But salvation is something that starts to come out of your mouth. You want to know what you believe? Just listen to yourself. You want to know what somebody else believes? Just start listening to them. But when you understand who you are, number one, I am the righteousness of God, that's settled, then you can start growing in Him, and then you start declaring the promises and truths of God as they start coming out of your mouth. They got to come out of your mouth. Amen? The promises we believe become our confessions. With the heart, righteousness. The confession of the mouth, salvation. The promises. You are a product. The fruit of your, what's that scripture? The fruit of your lips. Amen. Eating the fruit of your lips. Power, the power of life and death is in the tongue. The promises we believe become our confession. When you believe about salvation comes out of your mouth. When there is a struggle, a difficulty, emotions are running high, what comes out of your mouth is what's going to end up happening. It's what ends up taking place. It will either be yes or no. So as you grow in Him saying, I don't care how I feel, I don't know what's going on here, but the salvation of God in my life, I'm declaring, thank you, Jesus. I'm blessing. Thank you, Father, for providing for my needs. Thank you for providing, even if you have work, saying, thank you, Lord, for providing the work. Lord, whatever you let that become out of your mouth. And the other thing is the enemy hates that. When you're declaring those things out of your mouth, the enemy, you've heard me say, he says, I'm out of here. I got to find somebody who speaks negatively. Doesn't matter if they're saved or not. If they're speaking negatively, if they're speaking contrary of what their salvation offers them, the enemy's always willing to help you get you there. Always willing to help you. But when we're speaking and praising God, worshiping Him, declaring the promises, saying, thank you, Father, for revealing me what salvation means, the enemy says, man, we got to find somebody else. This isn't working out. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this, but having the same spirit of faith, aren't you glad we have the same spirit of faith here? According to what is written, this is Paul saying, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. The power, I mean, I know there's been people that have taken the word of faith and gone too far with it. But I'm telling you, what comes out of your mouth is very, very important. It'll dictate. It'll direct your life. What did James say? It says the tongue is like a rudder on a ship. It's so small, but it turns a big ship. It starts a fire. Man, the power of our tongue. The power of, you think of God spoke the world into existence. You think that when Jesus, who was perfect, right, He was righteousness, walking on this earth, fighting the enemy, it came out of off His tongue, the Word of God, amen? So for you and I, thank you that it has to be settled. Are you righteous in Him? And then we grow in and say, Lord, let this thing called salvation start to come out of my lips. Let it come off of my tongue. Let, Lord, those things that would bring me down, that would try to wither me. You know how you get out of that? You start declaring the opposite of what is trying to wither your soul. Those things that the Holy Spirit shows you that are trying to wither worry. Amen? Worry. Could it be worry? Those things that come against us, we start declaring the promises of God. Start worshiping God. And those things that are causing, that are withering, they'll actually start being watered. You start eating the fruit of your own lips. You start promising. You see what David says, man, he had his men that were going to stone him, and it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He had to remind himself of God being with him. He had to remind himself that, hey, this isn't the end of the road, man. You've got much more for me. He had to remind himself of that. Amen? Can you stand up with me, saints? Gina, if you don't mind, just for a second, get on the piano. We got a few minutes, don't we? So with the heart believes, we believe unto righteousness and salvation, amen, out of our mouths, salvation. You know, so you guys realize salvation is much more than just, hey, when I draw my last breath. It's the things that God promises here while we're on earth, amen. And I've learned through the years the way that I can combat my own mind, my own emotions, my own will, and what the enemy's trying to speak to me is speaking the promises of God. That is salvation. That is salvation. So salvation just doesn't mean being born again. It means all the promises, all the things that he does for you and I. Touching us, encouraging us, strengthening us. Amen? Amen. So let's take, if we could, we just take a minute while Gina, if just take a few minutes, let's just pray. Can we pray, maybe pray in the Spirit, pray in English, and just start thanking God for salvation. Start thanking him for what he's going to do, what he is doing in these different areas of your life, of family members, your finances, your own struggles, even depression, even yourself, over your own life when depression tries to come, you can say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. He is not, depression, get out of here in Jesus' name. You have no right here. I'm righteous. Whatever's trying to bring that, you decide to rebuke it and say, Lord, the salvation of God that I'm speaking is my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the meekness, all these things that we have access to by your Spirit. Father, we just honor you right now. We just worship you. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We continue to glorify you. We continue to lift you up. We continue to bless you. We continue to honor you, Father. I thank you for blessing those here that are married, Lord. I thank you for blessing their marriages, Father God. Those, Father God, whatever difficulties they may be facing right now, Father, I thank you for strengthening them. I thank you for encouraging them, Father God. I thank you for giving them ears to hear, Father God. I pray that you forgive. Thank you for giving us ears to hear you afresh and anew. That you would speak the things of salvation, Lord. Lord, those that are around us that need to hear about your salvation, that don't just need to know about heaven and hell, but need to know, Lord, of your goodness, your kindness, your righteousness, your peace, your provision, your strength, your healing, your deliverance, Father God, that we declare unto people everything, Lord, the full package of your salvation and your righteousness. So we thank you for that, Lord, today. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Can we say this together? Say, Lord,
Lord,
I'm listening.
I'm listening.
Lord,
Lord,
I'm seeing.
I'm seeing.
Thank you for an open heart.
Open heart.
Amen, Lord Jesus.
Amen,
thank
Jesus
you, Father.
Name.
So, Father, we thank you, Lord, as we end this evening. Thank you for taking us home safely.
Amen, yes.
And, Lord, I pray that we'd hear your voice like never before. By your Holy Spirit, by your word, the different ways we can hear you, Lord, we're ready to hear you afresh and anew. Afresh and anew. Bringing life into our soul realm. Father, so we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, we pray, and all of God's people said, hallelujah. Thank